Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
See how he
looks.
We'll see how he looks. You're not playing on a partially torn ACL is a torn ACL. You're not playing on that. So I don't understand what. Just say he's not playing. Then we can stop wondering about it. But whatever. They left it open. The possibility that it would return. He obviously never did, and we now know that he was never going to. So now the question becomes like, can he? You know, when's he back? I mean, it's July 14th.
Yeah.
He had surgery on July 13th.
There's no way he's going to be ready for the start of the season. No way.
Well, 6 months is January 13th.
Yeah.
That's 6 months.
Yeah.
Now, you can come back in 6 months from an ACL. When I tore my ACL, which was like 25 years ago, it was considered a 9 to 12-month thing. Now it's like a 5, 6, 7, 8-month thing. But it's still like a 5, 6, 7, 8-month thing. Yeah, no, I can't imagine he's open in the season. And so that it makes you wonder, like, what do you do with Clippers games early in the season in terms of national television? Mm-hmm. What do you do about Christmas? Do you really want the Clippers on Christmas if Kawhi's not playing on Christmas?
Right.
So this is, you know, I think we all know that losing Kawhi Leonard hurt the Clippers this postseason. But now that partially torn ACL that required surgery, it's going to be something that impacts the 2021-22 season as well. Because, yeah, I can't imagine, and especially given the way he deals with injuries, and how careful they are with everything with him, I can't imagine he's playing on opening night or anywhere close to that.
Story number four.
The Open Championship gets underway in England a little after midnight central tonight.
You staying up?
No.
Hell no.
No. No. Are you out of your mind?
Yeah, I would never.
No, I mean, no, I'm not staying up. Staying up past midnight? No. I can't do that anymore. No. What do you want from me? Can't stay up past midnight.
It's freaking open, dude.
Yeah, no. I'll watch the highlights when I wake up. Yeah. I'm trying to watch a basketball game and be asleep within 5 minutes of the final buzzer.
8 p.m. tip.
8 p.m. tip.
I don't love it. Yeah. I kind of want 7:30. Because here's the thing is they like, I know it's always been a joke that like they lie about the tip-off time in the NBA. But, man, during these playoffs, they've really been lying because that thing tips off 30 minutes after they say it's going to.
The All-Star game last night was like 6:30. I think the first pitch was like 7:20.
Yeah.
Don't lie
to
me. Give
me a break.
Just tell me what time you're actually going to play.
Uh-huh.
Don't stop misleading me.
I hate that.
So, yeah, let's say this thing goes off at 8:15 tonight. 9:15, 10:15. Can I be asleep by 11?
That's the goal.
Yeah, I'm going to try to be asleep by 11. Not trying to stay up and watch John Rahm.
And we also know at the end of the game, they look at the monitor like 500 times, so you get that. I mean, I think you're looking at like 11, 11:15-ish.
Either way, I can't be awake at 12:30, yeah, and that's basically what you got to be. You got to be awake around 12:30 to get the first golfers going off. But John Rahm is your favorite at plus 700, followed by Brooks Koepka and Jordan Spieth at plus 1,400. Then you get Rory, Dustin, Xander Schauffele at plus 1,800, and then Justin Thomas at plus 2,000. Do you have a favorite?
I'll go with Rory. He's on his home turf.
My little homie Harold Varner III is plus 25,000.
Ooh,
might have to win 25.
Put a dollar on that.
Might have to win $25,000 on Harold Varner III.
Yeah, that's not bad.
So I'll watch.
I'll go with Rory. Who are you going with?
Colin Morikawa.
Okay.
I like Colin Morikawa.
He's always in the mix.
He's in the mix.
He's always in the mix.
Now, every tournament I find myself rooting for Bryson and Brooks. I want them to be in a competition on Sunday. It hasn't really happened yet, but Bryson DeChambeau is plus 3,500. For whatever it's worth, Brooks said he hates this course. I don't know if you saw that yesterday.
Uh-oh.
He was like,
well, I ain't rolling with him then.
It's one of those questions like they always ask you, like, so, hey, what do you think about TPC Southwind? And the golfers are always like, oh, it's great. I mean, I really love it out here. It's a fun course, blah, 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 blah. Really challenging, a lot of why. They just always, it's a setup question. Hey, what do you think about our golf course? And every golfer's like,
amazing greens.
Oh, this is great. It really looks great. Love it out here. They asked Brooks about it yesterday, and he was like, I don't know, it's not my favorite. He's like, there's a couple of, you know, tee shots where you're hitting to nothing. You know, you can't really see where you're going. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. He's like, you know, it's fine. I'll play it, but I don't love it out here. Can you win a major on a course that you publicly denounce?
I'm going to say no.
Feels like just bad vibes.
Yeah, he like set himself up for a bad weekend.
Like, you're already complaining about the course. Now you're going to go out and shoot 8-under Thursday? Probably not.
Yeah,
but maybe. I don't know. He's Brooks Koepka. He's great. We'll see. Jeff Calkins up next.
Hi. Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live on Memphis Sports Station, 92.9 FM ESPN, with 92.9's Jeff Calkins, now and every day around 5 p.m.
And the feeling goes, but my hair keeps growing.
New Amsterdam Vodka is a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains, five times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered three times to create a soft finish, as I'm sure, you know by now, it is so smooth you can drink it straight. And I promise, it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store. And that's because it's a quality vodka that is reasonably priced. Makes no sense to spend extra money on any other brand. That's because New Amsterdam Vodka is the best value you can find when you're looking for a quality vodka to enjoy in these summer months. If you're into flavored vodkas, they offer a variety. Watermelon, raspberry, peach, red berry, lemon, orange, pineapple, coconut. The list is long. If you don't see the flavor you want, ask them to get it for you. They can. And don't forget, New Amsterdam also has a gluten-free vodka. So if you're on a gluten-free diet, either by choice or necessity, that's the vodka for you. Please ask for it by name next time you're in a bar, restaurant, or a liquor store. It's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out. On the web, newamsterdamspirits.com. That's newamsterdamspirits.com. Jeff Calkins is an award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show, weekdays 9 to 11, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Joins me every day after 5 here right now. Jeff Calkins, how are you?
I'm okay, GP.
You're doing better than Richard Sherman, I hope.
Is that what you want to talk to me about? What was he arrested for?
I think he just got a little out of hand. I think he tied one on real good, and then and then the night spiraled on him.
Well, I have something I want to talk about in a minute.
Okay, good.
Tell me because I've seen on Twitter. I've been doing some work on other stuff. So sure. I saw on Twitter he was arrested. How did it get out of control for Richard Sherman?
It appears that on a Tuesday night he decided to drink and drive. There's your first mistake.
Any night.
Can't do it. So he's drinking and driving. Single car accident around 1 a.m. hits a concrete barrier. At that moment.
Could have been worse.
You could be dead.
He seems alive. No, he hasn't hit anybody else.
Right. But in that moment, okay, so you're under the influence. I'm just trying to get inside the mind of a Richard Sherman. What I'm assuming happens there is you go, okay, I'm a free agent. I'm a celebrity. I will be on SportsCenter at 7 a.m. if I sit here in this wrecked car and wait for the cops to come. I didn't hit anybody else. I'm going to see if I can just drive away from this. Keep in mind he's also allegedly drunk. He's trying to drive away from this. Hey, you know, if the worst thing that ever happens from this point forward is I mess up my car, that's fine. We can fix this car. Let's try to avoid the other stuff. So he's driving. Car's mangled. Tires are popped. He ain't going nowhere. Gets off the interstate, finds a parking lot, parks the car. And then the Seattle Times story at least says his wife's parents live about 3 miles from where the car was found. It appears that he showed up at their house perhaps trying to find a place to hide it out for the night, you know?
Okay. This all seems totally reasonable so far. I mean, except for the initial decision to drive drunk, right?
Yeah, or, you know, I can understand how you might once you have that wreck and you know you're intoxicated, you might go, maybe I can just get out of here. You know?
Oh, I totally would. I mean, if I thought I could get out of there and I hadn't hit anybody or anything of value, little nothing, you just get out of there. I don't actually see how that's even unreasonable. What are you supposed to do? Call the cops and say, I'm drunk, come get me, use my bashed up car?
That is what you're supposed to do. is say I've just hit a concrete barrier. That is what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to leave the scene of accident.
If you just hit a... what if it's no harm to anything? You get out, you look at the car, everything's fine. Your car is bashed up. What do the cops care? I mean, did you do damage to the concrete barrier, maybe?
Yes, I think you did do damage.
I'm with him. Get the hell.
How about this? I had a friend.
I'm not with him with the original decision to drive drunk, but once he's done it, if he wants to, as long as there's no harm, no foul, get out of there and I lay low. I'm with him there.
Right. Like I can totally see how you would make that decision in that moment. I had a friend in college or just out of college called me middle of the day. Hey, I need you to come get me. Okay, where are you? I'm at a gas station. Okay, where? Somewhere in Tunica. This dude had gone down to casinos all night, drinking, popping, who knows what. He should not have been driving, decided to drive home from the casinos, flipped his car, single car accident, like ran off the road, like might have fallen asleep, drifted off, whatever. Flipped his car, and car is off the road, flipped. He didn't hit anybody else. He was a little sore, but he could walk, and he came and got and picked him up. I went and picked him up, and then he stayed at my apartment for until all the alcohol and stuff got out of his system.
Yeah.
So that if they came looking for him, they wouldn't be able to find him. And by the time they could find him, he could say, yeah, you could take my blood if you want. But it was ultimately, he did it. He actually got away with exactly what Richard Sherman was trying to get away with.
Right. And in the end, you say, well, why didn't you turn yourself in earlier? Whatever. You say, oh, I was head on the head. I was confused.
There you go.
Was whatever.
Right.
You know, no problem.
Right.
Yeah. I'm kind of with Richard Sherman
so far.
Yeah.
Okay. So Richard Sherman now apparently he's definitely at a home. It appears to be his wife's parents' home. And, you know, banging on the door. Hey, let me in. Well, they either didn't know it was Richard Sherman or didn't care that it was Richard Sherman. Is that your understanding, Bennett?
Yes.
And so they call the cops.
That hasn't been clarified yet.
They call the cops. Somebody's banging on the door. Somebody's outside. Cops show up. They're already looking for Richard Sherman because they found this mangled car. They saw the concrete barrier that was hit. They run the tags. It says Richard Sherman. They're already looking for Richard Sherman. And then totally... In a totally separate incident, at least it appears that way at first, they get a 911 call. And when they show up at this house, it is Richard Sherman. And so then he's resisting arrest, fighting cops. They have to put a dog on him.
He was put a what on him?
A dog canine to secure him. And he was denied bail, which is like wild. Like, are multimillionaires usually denied bail? In situations where nobody was seriously injured, he's denied bail. He can't see a judge till tomorrow. This dude's still sitting in jail right now.
Okay, well, that's a bad day.
That's I'm a bad day.
That's a bad day.
Had a bad day.
They found his car.
He
did not execute the escape very well. I think we can say that. I mean, obviously, the original decision was a poor one. But he didn't execute the escape. Well, once upon a time, you and I even had a conversation about whether you can run away from cops, right?
And it turns out you can.
It turns out you can. And we had actually people who called in and said, I have. I just got to go really fast and whatever else, you know? And so, I mean, this is in the dark. It's just him. He should have been able to execute this escape. I got to figure I think he's probably lost a little bit.
Well,
you know?
I wonder. Now, keep in mind, everything we're about to wonder about can probably be answered by was smashed. He didn't know what he was doing. But, like, why wouldn't you, crash your car, get off, ditch your car, call somebody to come get you? Why are you banging on your wife's parents' door?
Oh, why don't you just call your wife? Yeah,
right.
That makes no sense.
Any of this.
None of that makes any. How did he get? He was within walking distance. He walked.
It says like the Seattle Times. It's one of those things where you can't. They can't connect the dots quite, but they can put the dots on the page, and you can connect them if you want to. So the way the Seattle Times story reads is, Richard Sherman's wife's parents' house is 3 miles from where the car was found, and he was there an hour after the car was found. The implication, at least, is that he walked to their house.
3 miles is a long way to walk.
I know, man.
When you're drunk.
Or sober.
Or sober. But a really long way to walk.
Really long way. Really, when you're drunk.
So, okay, so do you think he'll ever play again? I do.
Oh, of course. I mean,
this isn't that bad. NFL football player category, not that bad.
Yeah, like he didn't punch his fiance in an elevator, you know?
But now he is coming to the end of his career. Like, he is a free agent. He's coming to the end of his career, so maybe I don't want that kind of a character on my team.
Except, like, his wife is already out, like, in public being like, listen, this is bad. She's like, hey, this is awful, but he didn't hurt anybody, and he's not a bad person, and he doesn't.
Did he hurt the cops? He didn't. I mean, he was resisting arrest. That's not very good.
Yeah, you can't be a resisting arrest. But, they did say that Richard Sherman and one officer both suffered minor injuries. So, well, that's the other thing I was talking about earlier.
I would think then he might be suspended in some games.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think he'll be suspended in some games. He might have to sit out the first four games for that.
Yeah, I could see
that. I mean, in Alabama, he'd have to run stairs, you know, or something, you know, like that. So, okay, but here's what I wanted to talk about.
Okay, good.
I watched the interview with Shara Wright on ESPN. They aired it earlier. And I'm going to watch the show tonight, the Lorenzen Wright special on the E60. But the idea that there's some mystery here, which is how it's pitched, is the dumbest thing in the world. Like, literally, this is like they're pitching it like it's a whodunit. They literally asked her, who do you think did it? She did it!
She did it. Either she did it or she was involved and knows who did it.
It's not like this is a dumb, like this isn't, like there's some of these, I get that we immerse ourselves in true crime, right? And everywhere there is, whether it's a podcast, whether it's Netflix, where there's true crime everywhere. And I get that. We love watching it for whatever reason. And I listen to it myself. I don't watch as much as I listen to it. I listen to the podcast. All those, you know, starting with Serial, right down the line. I listen to them. And that's a whole separate question of why we as a society are so obsessed. It's not a surprise. I think it's been forever that we murders are somehow, there's some attraction to watching and reading and whatever about them. I think it was probably true in 1890 reading the newspaper too. So, but in a lot of them, there's at least a mystery, right? There's like at the bottom of it is, did Adnan do it, right? Like, or whatever, like at least that's some legitimate mystery. There is in this, she pled guilty. She stood up, she was asked, she understood the charges and everything else. And there's never been any, like she isn't, and now actually she is sort of asking for relief in the after the sentencing, et cetera. She's asking for a new trial or whatever else. But there's no credible reason to think anything other than she arranged it. And so it just seems crazy to me. Like the first question to Shara Wright was, what's the hardest part about this? The hardest part about this is they caught me murdering my ex-husband. That's the hardest part about this. I just like she's some freaking victim. It just is, and there's some mystery here. Now, the interesting part of the story is, of course, is it's all looked at through the prism of the twins, and that to me, who are playing college basketball, and that to me is interesting. But we have now had ABC, CBS, NBC, ESPN, local TV show did a 10, well, whatever, a big podcast on it. Like, every time you turn around, there is a Lorenzen Wright whodunit when we know whodunit. I just find it a little appalling.
Yeah, like I was talking to Jason Munns about it earlier because he's seen an advanced screening and he was like, you know, it's an interesting twist with Shara Wright now saying she had nothing to do with it. And I was like, that is a twist, I guess, but isn't it more likely just a lie? She's just lying.
It's not a twist at all. It's a freaking lie. Yeah. It's a lie. At the day, there's not some, well, DNA says, or there's nothing other than she says, I had PTSD when I mean, literally, she's asked, well, if you said you didn't do it, why did you plead guilty? And she just said, I'm going to have to quote here somewhere. It says, my life was, I've been stacked against me from the beginning. I have PTSD. I have, like, just, you know, every sort of cliche, meaningless reason that you could possibly want for a, you know, for relief after you've already pled guilty. There's no credible reason to think she didn't do it. Literally, and if you look back at the day that she was sentenced, her lawyer was laughing, according to stories at the time, because so many people wanted her to get a life in prison or a death sentence or something, and he was cackling that she got off so easy, you know, because she could, she was sentenced to 30 years, but it was, you had to serve, I think, like 30% with time already served, whatever. She could be out as early as 24, I think. So, like, it wasn't some, you know, we got railroaded into this. He was cackling about about the fact that so many people were going to be unhappy that she got off so easy. And, yeah, so it is this, you know, she thanked her lawyer for doing a great job. She thanked the judge for being so thorough. This wasn't some, you know, railroaded victim. It's ridiculous. Whole thing's ridiculous. And so I do think, and I'm going to watch it, right? And the trailer's great, but, and I do think the angle of, if you're twins and you know, or you I mean, even when they put the questions to the twins, it is, do you know what your mother's accused of? Not accused of, what she pled guilty to doing. You know, it's not what she's accused of. But the thing about the twins and how they process it when your one parent is gone and was killed by the other parent is just, I mean, is really emotionally really difficult. And the truth of the matter is, you know who did a great piece on this? Dana O'Neill did a great piece on this for The Athletic. If you want to go read that, if you subscribe to The Athletic, because the other little angle here is the twins are coached by Brian Baroni, who's Tony Baroni's son. And they, as they were going through this, like Tony Baroni himself had just died. And so Brian had just lost his father. And so he was relating in Dana's piece, according to Dana's piece, it, very different circumstances. Obviously Tony Baroni died of lung cancer. But Brian Baroni himself had lost a job coaching at a junior college, I think, for a DUI or something like that. So he's dealing with some stuff. So there were some really interesting human angles to that part of it, that these twins are now playing college basketball and wearing the father's number and all of that. But the part of it that was shown on at noon on ESPN was crazy. It was just crazy because it's like Shira Wright's trying to act like she didn't already plead guilty and she's not just, you know, sitting there because of what she did.
Well, it's, I would assume that the way this goes down is like this. She's facing very serious charges. Somebody who was now involved in the murder has flipped on her. They've got the murder weapon. They got a subpoena to tap phones and surveil her. They find her, you know, making all these secret meetings with the, you know, the Billy Ray Turner.
The lawyer at the time said that she thought Billy Ray Turner was going to testify against her. That's why she flipped.
Okay. So like this whole thing's coming down on you, right? Like they got you. Like you got away with it for a little while, but now this one person's flipped. The other person might flip. They've got a murder weapon. They've been, you've been under surveillance. They've got you doing all sorts of sketchy stuff. They got you. You about to spend maybe the rest of your life in jail. Or, you know, you can plead guilty and we can get you out in 2026. Okay, I'll plead guilty and be out in 2026. So you do that, because given the way that it's all closing in on you, this seems like the smart play. But then you wake up in 2021 and you're like, I don't want to spend the next 5 years in jail. Is there another way around this? And so you just make up a new story. But that's all she's doing.
And if I want to give the benefit of every doubt, which to be clear, I don't. Right? But if I did, you could say, well, she was faced with all these people were flipping and they were going to lie and say she did it. And so even though she didn't do it, what choice did she have other than to plead guilty because she was really worried about some life, rest of her life in jail? And instead she pled, she pled guilty to avoid. I just don't buy it. Like, yeah, no, she offers no credible at all you know, no credible reason to think anyone else did this. And so, you know, and then it's just more dragging Lorenzen through it. And obviously Lorenzen wasn't, quote, he wasn't not just perfect. He obviously did some lousy things, just heinous things. He did, you know, there was, I mean, you can go back. Even when he was a member of the Grizzlies, he was charged. I don't know if he was charged. There was a domestic violence incident where they police went to his house and she had scratches and was beaten up and stuff. And so, like, you know, it was not he to the extent that he's being quote unquote dragged through the mud. Some of the stuff is that has been exposed about Lorenzen seems to be true, but still, I don't. Like, it's been 11 years, and we're still having specials on the mystery of who done it. This one's called Murder in Memphis. The last one was called Mystery in Memphis. You know, like, they're all of the type. And I think these things are very valuable when you can, when if you're a producer and you can investigate something and look at it and say, oh my God, there's a real chance an innocent person's in jail here. We got to dig in on this. There's been examples of places where real justice has been done and real injustice has been overturned. This does not seem to be one of those examples. This seems to be trading on celebrity to tell a story once again that everyone has already told once, with the caveat that I do think the angle of the kids playing basketball is worthy. And indeed, the truth of the matter is, even if it wasn't Lorenzen Wright, if it was just two kids playing basketball and one other, you know, two twins playing basketball and their father was killed by their mother, that would be a story that ESPN could tell even without the Lorenzen Wright angle. And so I'm interested in seeing how that part plays out. I'm much less interested in hearing Cheryl Wright explain that she didn't do it.
Yeah, you can't one day explain that you did have a role in it because you were being abused and this was the only way to stop it, and then come back few years later and say, nope, that was all made up. I had nothing to do with it. And by the way, like, it doesn't even make sense that she had nothing to do with it. Like, you just go, like, it always seemed like she had something to do with it. You just couldn't really connect it. But then, like, you know, it's made public, you know, it is publicly known that they found the murder weapon. And then she's setting up these secret meetings with Billy Ray Turner. The whole thing's being monitored, and she's setting up these. If you don't have any secrets, you don't have to have secret meetings. You know, like, I know that's probably oversimplifying it, but you don't need to be trying to meet with Billy Ray Turner on the low after they find a murder weapon, unless you're trying to.
Well, and the truth of the matter is, we never saw what the prosecution had, so we don't know everything. But it would have been interesting to see those meetings, to see what they got off the tape of her, right? Like, there's probably loads of stuff. She didn't plead guilty because, you know, she didn't want to put her through the kids through a trial. You know, I don't believe that for a minute. She pled guilty because she knew she was nailed. And now she's unhappy being in jail, because I think you would be. And if she can tell someone that she's innocent and someone will listen, they'll put on TV, she'll do that. And she has before, and she's doing it again. But it was, did you never covered Lorenzen, did you? Did you cover Lorenzen? No,
no,
but
I do vividly remember all this is going on, and all it's known at the time is Lorenzen is missing. That's it. And I happen to be on a flight from Vegas back to Memphis, and it was all seated together because I was coming back from AAU stuff, and USA Basketball was out there as well. So, like, in the first few rows of the plane, it was me, Lionel Hollins, Rudy Gay, O.J. Mayo, Chris Paul.
Are all playing Booyah?
Booyah, no. No, but we were all sitting together.
Right.
And and then her plane got, it wouldn't take off. We were sitting on this plane for 2 hours, and it wouldn't take off. They had mechanical issues. So we were just sitting there all talking about this. And I didn't know Chris Paul at all, but, like, I knew Rudy, you know, and OJ, and then I knew Lionel. So, like, I'm involved in these conversations. And I just remember nobody really being concerned. It was like, I don't know who said what, but it was like somebody said, dude, he's in Cancun with some woman. Like, it's no big deal.
Right.
Like, we're in fine. It was just not – nobody was really – it was like, oh, Wren's crazy. Like, people – it apparently, to his friends, it wasn't unlike him to just be in Mexico with some other woman and nobody can get in touch with him. Like, ah, Wren's fine. Oh, Wren's crazy. And then our plane never took off. This is the part where you remember who you are. Like, Chris – so Chris Paul's like, dude, I got to get back to New Orleans. And Chris Paul's like, I'm just going to get a private plane. And he's like, Rudy, will you go in half on it? And Rudy's like, yeah, I'll go in half on it. And then Chris, because I guess those two made the most money at the time. And so then Chris was like, all right, yeah, and OJ, Lionel, you guys can just come with us. And I was just sitting there. Like, come on, invite
me. Dang, invite me, dude.
I was like,
you go to the Delta Club. Yeah. Reporting to the Delta Club, Gary Parrish.
Yeah, and it was like, and so they were like, all right, let's get off this plane.
Fancy with your little fast pass there, whatever it's clear, whatever that thing's called.
I was like, all right, Rudy, I guess I'll just see you back in Memphis whenever I get there. I was like, come on, invite me to go on your private plane. They didn't invite me. So apparently they dropped Lionel and OJ and Rudy, they dropped them off in Memphis, and then Chris just went on to New Orleans. But I didn't get to go on the private plane. But this was when all of this was happening. And I remember, at least initially, nobody thought Lorenzen Light was really dead. Like, it just wasn't what entered their mind at all, which is wild with the benefit of hindsight, because he was way dead.
Yeah, he was. The last, before his death, the last story I wrote about him was, He was charged in this domestic dispute. And then it was actually Elliot Perry put together and the truth of the matter is the sheriff's office tried to hide the police report for the domestic dispute thing. It was very clear. They were trying to, whatever. But then, and so he hadn't talked, but then Elliot Perry was putting together a fundraiser for Katrina victims. And Lorenzen came down and dropped off a check for $10,000 for the Katrina victims, and I talked to him there, and we, like, one of the things we talked about is, it's just amazing because you couldn't have this conversation with a player even now, like how much things have changed. He said there wasn't a gun in the police report. It was reported that he held it at gunpoint, and he said he wasn't a gun. And he said, you know, whatever, but he sort of faced it. You know, he talked about it, and I don't know. I knew him much better as a Grizzly player, obviously, than I did as a Tiger player. As a Tiger player, I only covered him for 1 year and really didn't get much of a sense of him. But I look back, he committed to Memphis the year that Memphis learned that they weren't going to get an NFL team because they were going to Charlotte and Jacksonville. And Penny decided to turn pro, was drafted that year. But Lorenzen, was going to be like the new hope. He was the star who had come from playing high school in Mississippi and was playing now at BTW. He had to sit out his first like 4 or 5 games because he had played in some tournament where they give you a, you know, satchel or something, right? Whatever. So he had to sit out the first 4 games. And then his first game for BTW had 30 points and 20 rebounds or something like that. And it was tremendous. And you just look back and he's, oh, and I've been, you know, there was one quote where he said, we're talking about the Grizzlies. He said, I want him to be a success here, not just when I'm here, but, you know, when I'm old, I'm going to be sitting in season tickets. You know, so I can have season tickets.
And then how old was he when he died?
34.
Jesus.
34. He was 34 when he died. Yeah, that's 34 is young. He was done. Like, his career was done. Like, it definitely, you know, and there's no question. He had all kinds of financial trouble.
Right.
But, you know, she helped him with that because she then burned through the money, the insurance money. Like, there was fighting over the insurance money because she blew through it so fast. Like, here's the truth. I was talking to Fishman about this story recently, and he said, well, did the insurance money, did the insurance try to get the money back from her? And the answer to that's no. I can only presume, because she wasn't charged until years and years, 7 years after the murder. So she'd already blown through the money. She won. She should be just sitting there and being happy waiting for parole in 2020. Evidently, she probably won't get parole the first time, which I think would be 24. But people said she could be, you know, you said 26. She could very well be paroled 26.
Well, it's Murder in Memphis tonight at E60, 8 o'clock on ESPN. I guess I'll turn it on and see what it's all about, but I'm with you. I don't need to spend my – I'm interested to hear what the kids have to say, I guess. I'll listen to what other people have to say. I don't really got much time for listen to Cheryl Wright try to act like she didn't have something to do with this murder. Because it's just that's a made-up story. It's a made-up story. Right. All right, I'll see you later.
See you, man.
Bye-bye. Yeah, he's been dead more than we're almost up on the 11-year anniversary. Mm. The official date of death is July 19th, 2010. And so that's 5 days from now. I remember all that, though.
Oh, yeah.
And then once they finally identified that 911 call and pinged it, they found him, like, very quickly.
Right.
Or what was left. Because there wasn't. He'd been out there for a while, that field. So just an awful story. That'll be back on a national stage tonight on ESPN. Be back in a second.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Step my money fast and go Cooper Systems over in the Mount Moriah Office Park on the web, coopersystems.com. If you're in the market for a computer, high-end, low-end, middle-of-the-road, desktop, notebook, tablet, any kind of computer, get in touch with Lee and Lauren Cooper at Cooper Systems. They can help you. Any of the consultants at Cooper Systems can help you. Just get them on the phone, 360-9679, 360-9679. Tell them what it is you're going to be using a computer to do. Like, you making films? Are you a gamer, or are you just somebody who plays on Facebook and YouTube? Because those are all different computers. If you're a gamer, you probably need to spend a significant amount of money on a new computer. But if you're just messing around on Facebook, YouTube, emailing, checking box scores, reading, you don't need to spend $1,000 on a computer for that. You can spend a few $100 to get a computer that can do that. So why not go that route? Save your money, spend that money on something else. Because it makes no sense to spend $2,000 on a computer if you're only going to ask it to do a handful of things. You're paying for a bunch of stuff you don't need. Don't do that. At Cooper Systems, you can avoid it. 360-9679, 360-9679. It's Cooper Systems in the Mount Moriah Office Park on the web, coopersystems.com. Moussa Cisse, a former five-star center, American Athletic Conference Freshman of the Year, has announced on Twitter that he will be announcing his next college destination tomorrow on ESPN at a time to be determined.
Okay.
He is getting interest once he entered the transfer portal, withdrew from the NBA draft from Florida State, Creighton, Georgia, Oklahoma State, Cincinnati. Florida State was in there pretty good the first time around, so we'll see. But, you know, some good options there. Florida State's a preseason, top 25 team. Oklahoma State just had the number one pick in the draft.
Right.
Cade Cunningham. Creighton probably takes a little bit of a step back, but, you know, top 35-ish type team next season. You know, Tom Crean needs a breakthrough at Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Cincinnati.
Cincinnati's in a total rebuild.
That doesn't make sense. That would not make sense. If he committed to Cincinnati instead of coming back to Memphis, like, I don't know. That would be odd.
Unless they told him you can start and play 33 minutes a game.
I guess so, and I mean, that's probably the appeal, right?
I don't think he's going to Cincinnati. No. I'm just saying that was one of the schools that had shown him interest. So Moussa Cisse going to make an announcement tomorrow where he's going to play college basketball next season. I wish him luck.
Me too.
Be back with Dinner to Go.
92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis' sports station. Sports station.
92.9 ESPN from Odyssey.
Is there a room in your house that never seems to cool or heat the way you think it should? Then a Mitsubishi ductless system may be a solution for you. Hi, this is Lauren Choate with Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing. Ductless systems are relatively new to the United States, but Mitsubishi ductless systems are a proven energy saver because the system does not have any ductwork, so it can blow colder air in the summer and warmer air in the winter. Mitsubishi's inverter-driven compressors automatically adjust to your cooling or heating demands to deliver ideal comfort while only using the energy that is needed. No more, no less. Do you have a bonus room, sunroom, or master bedroom that never cools right? Maybe a new addition to your home or a garage you want heated or cooled. Now you can do it efficiently. Call Choate's today at 755-4797 or visit our website at choateshvac.com to schedule your free estimate. And remember, Choate's, let our family serve your family.
Is your bathroom looking old and worn out? Want to update it, but you don't know where to start? Then let BCI Bath & Shower show you how to turn that old bath into an aisle of beauty and functionality. Our residential bathroom solutions provide the best value on the market, and our customer service is second to none. Our cost-effective BCI Bath & Shower family of products has what you need.
Remodeling our bathroom was a big decision for us.
They didn't make a mess out of our house at all. And at the end of the day, we had a beautiful new bathroom. And it was a great experience the whole way through.
We have the best monthly payment programs in the industry, with payments as low as $68 per month or no interest, no payments for 18 months. That's right. Get the bathroom of your dreams now and pay for it in 2021. Call 1-800-303-2352 for a free, no-obligation price quote. That's 1-800-303-2352. When you want quality bathroom products at a great price, it's got to be BCI Bath & Shower. That's 1-800-303-2352.
Entertainment is back at the Fitz. On Saturday, July 17th, the Fitz welcomes Jazz and Jokes, hosted by Prescott. One fantastic night with the Memphis Kings of R&B, Bird Williams, Gerald Richardson, and Jerome Chisholm, and the Memphis Kings of Comedy 4, Oscar P. and Bryant Mouthpiece Hannah. Tickets start at just $20. Get them at the Fitz or through Ticketmaster. Hotel packages with a room and two tickets start at just $169. Jazz and Jokes at the Fitz. Luck lives here.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Things are turning for the better, and it's time to get together with clients, families, and friends. And there's no better place to do that than the Crescent Club. The Crescent Club inside the Crescent Center offers so many ways for us to get together with clients, lunches or dinners, family dinners, parties too. The Crescent Club has everything you need, plus beautiful spaces with gorgeous views for graduation parties, wedding receptions, and more. Whether you're dining out with friends or looking at a graduation party, a wedding reception, or more, celebrating at the Crescent Club makes everything more special. They offer private rooms at no charge to members, so you can use that whenever you want to for whatever special occasion comes up on your calendar. So become a Crescent Club member and receive all the amenities that go with membership. To find out more, just come by and take a visit today. 6075 Poplar Avenue at the Crescent Center, or you can go to mycrescentclub.com. That's mycrescentclub.com. Call 901-684-1010. 901-684-1010.
Discover BetMGM, the king of sports books. Sign up today and win $100 if you place a $1 wager on any NBA Finals game and either team hits a three-pointer, regardless of your bet's outcome. Simply use bonus code BETNOW100 when you place your first bet. Enjoy the finals more than ever with BetMGM.
New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, Washington, D.C., or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. And 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the Red Line at 800-889-9789. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada.
For the ones standing guard. For the eagle-eyed. For the knights in shining armor. And for all those who support them. We are Grainger, your experienced safety partner. Offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Committed to helping keep your facilities safe. And your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up,
good night,
there's a lot of meetups, eat-ups, and hurry-ups. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. Fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. And engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline. See full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The power's above me.
don't shoot.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and that's Memphis Barbecue Company. It's owned by Melissa Cookson, seven-time world champion. She is the first woman ever inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. So needless to say, the barbecue is great at Memphis Barbecue Company. You should know that by now. But let's say for the sake of the conversation, you don't like barbecue. Don't make sense to me, but, you know, maybe you don't like barbecue. Or maybe you just don't feel like barbecue. Maybe you love it, but I don't feel like barbecue today. Fine. Still go to Memphis Barbecue Company because they got a menu filled with other things in addition to the barbecue. They got salads, burger sandwiches, fried catfish, grilled salmon, grilled chicken, chicken tenders, smoked wings. I promise, even if you're not in the mood for barbecue, there's going to be something on that menu for you at Memphis Barbecue Company. You can view the menu at memphisbbqco.com. memphisbbqco.com. You can dine in 7 days a week or schedule a pickup order. You want to do that? Also online, memphisbbqco.com. That's memphisbbqco.com. You want to go there? From Memphis, it's easy. Take 55 south to the Goodman Road exit. Get off, go right. You can see it from the interstate. That's Memphis Barbecue Company on the web, memphisbbqco.com. Do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
A whole bunch of stuff, but can I update you on the Richard Sherman story?
What's going on?
You seen the 911 call?
I heard it, yeah.
Not great.
No, it's not good.
Not great. So,
what about the dispatcher? People dragging her.
I didn't hear I'm only reading a transcript of it.
Oh, the dispatcher was like not very... I know it's not the 911 operator. It's the 911 operator's job to be like a calming presence. She was mean, man.
Saying what?
She's like, "Ma'am, be quiet. Let me tell me exactly." And she's like making her repeat herself. And Richard Sherman's wife was getting mad at her.
I guess you would.
Anyways,
so it appears piecing this together, Richard Sherman is at the house with the wife.
Mm-hmm.
He's been drinking.
Yep.
He's getting wild. Saying wild things. He was threatening, according to the wife, on the 911 call, he was threatening to kill himself. Saying he's going to hang himself. He was wrestling with her uncle. And then it appears that he set out, wildly intoxicated, to go to her parents' house to maybe have an altercation with them.
Oh, so they didn't want him at their house.
Right. It doesn't sound like he wrecked, and then this is the nearest place I can get to, so let me go there. This sounds like that's where he was going when he crashed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just continued on his way by foot.
Dang.
He's committed to the cause.
Yeesh.
So when she called 911, the wife, it was like, "My husband is drunk and threatening to kill himself. I need officers at the house now." That was Ashley Moss on 911 on a 911 call talking about her husband, Richard Sherman, who of course is the 5-time Pro Bowler, most recently with the San Francisco 49ers. So sounds like this wasn't as simple as he was out drinking and then found himself in a bad spot, as much as he was at home drinking, threatening some wild things, and then left the house. Everybody was concerned about him leaving the house, and then a bad situation turned worse. So, sounds like Richard Sherman's got a lot going on, in addition to just being on the verge of being charged with a felony. So, as we sit here right now, nobody was seriously hurt, Richard or anybody else. So, that's the good news, and hopefully he'll be able to work through whatever he needs to work through, because it sounds like he's got some stuff to work through.
What's the biggest game tonight?
Game 4 NBA Finals, Suns Bucks, 5-serve form, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The Bucks are 4.5-point favorites, trying to get this back to 2-2. The total is 220.5. Big Bet Bennett already said you're laying the 4.5.
Yep.
I'm taking the 4.5.
Oh.
With Chris Paul.
Why are we going against each other so much this week?
At least one of us will be right.
That's true.
You know?
That's a good point.
At least one of us will. Somebody will listen to this right now and think tonight either, "Ooh, GP had this one nailed," or "Big Bet Bennett had this one nailed." So one of us will get credit.
Yeah.
And the other one will just be a dope.
I don't want to be the dope.
I don't want to be the dope either. We'll see how it plays out. Tips a little after 8 o'clock. You can watch it on ABC.
What should I watch on TV?
At Jason Munns earlier from the commercial appeal, he has seen an advanced screening of the E60 documentary that's debuting on ESPN tonight about the murder of Lorenzen Wright. So if you want to get properly prepped for that one-hour episode at 8 o'clock, you can go read Munns' story at commercialappeal.com.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
Well, isn't that what I just said?
Oh, I thought that was what to watch on TV.
Oh, okay. I might have jumped the gun.
Yeah, that was what to watch on TV.
Okay, we're watching the E60.
Yeah.
Okay, now hit the button again.
Okay.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
Yeah, go read Munster. I just told you all
there
about
we go.
It. Right? We got all this wrapped up now?
I like it. We're good.
We all clean now?
We got to do one more.
Hit it then.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
I ain't going to be here.
Where are you going?
I did tell you I'm not going to be here.
Yeah, you tell me.
Okay. I'm going to North Augusta. I'm going to Peach Jam. Sounds like I clocked out about 5 minutes ago. But now it's we're closer to the end than we were 5 minutes ago. I'm going to North Augusta.
Yep.
Not technically for Peach Jam, because Peach Jam doesn't start till next week. This is still the EYBL circuit.
Oh.
Team Thad will be there. They're playing tonight, their first game as a member of the EYBL. So I'm going to fly to Augusta. Big Bet Bennett's going to host in my absence, and I'll join him live by phone for much of the first hour. We'll look back at Game 4 of the NBA Finals, look ahead to the restart of the MLB regular season, and if anything's interesting is happening in North Augusta, I'll be sure to let you know. Enjoy your night. I'll enjoy mine. Please be back here tomorrow. For till then, be careful. Be kind, be good. Rep your hood.
This is Memphis' Sports Station with a legacy of sports in the Mid-South. The flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers Talk. 92.9 FM ESPN. An Odyssey Station.
Sitting behind the reel, you lose track of time. Lost in rows of lights, you think, has it been 10 minutes? Are we there yet? And then suddenly from your seat at the slots, you finally hear the next $500 winner in Southland's 10-minute cash dash is... And you realize the little wait was worth every minute. It's the 10-minute cash dash at Southland Casino. A new $500 cash winner every 10 minutes, every Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. Must be 21 plus. Play responsibly. For help quitting, call 800-522-4700.
Kroger is proud to partner with Manhood University to offer Memphis residents an opportunity for a new beginning. Kroger's partnership opens doors to a brighter future for so many.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.